Hello, I'm Veronica Scares-Rick, and I'd like you to join me by going northwards from Rome to the city of Liverpool to meet a parish priest from the Liverpool Archdiocese. He's Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, who's currently serving at St. Joseph's Blundellsands. I'm choosing to speak of Liverpool simply because it is among the 11 metropolitan dioceses across Europe launching a major evangelization drive during Lent, an initiative which is part of a continent-wide pilot scheme promoted by the Pontifical Council for promoting new evangelization in preparation for the scheduled October Synod of Bishops on the new evangelization to be held here in Rome. So stay tuned as Monsignor Fleetwood speaks to us of this Lenten project known as Missio Metropolis, the Pontifical Council's first major project since it was created in 2010. The Pontifical Council Promoting New Evangelization has asked the Archdiocese of Liverpool to take part in a pilot scheme in preparation for the Synod, the October Synod, which will focus on new evangelization for the transmission of the Christian faith. Is this something that's already visible in your part of the world?
The Archbishop told me, maybe I shouldn't say this, he told me this in private, that he was very surprised and thought they'd made a mistake by including Liverpool in the list of the cities. But then when he met the Pope the next time, he realised that the decision came from very high up, and it was a deliberate decision. Perhaps Liverpool in England, because it has still the densest Catholic population in terms of Catholics per square mile of any area in the country, despite the fact that our population is dropping, our mass attendances are dropping very fast. But that last thing might be one of the very reasons why such a traditionally strong Catholic place, which is now beginning to experience a little bit of a crisis, and that will grow, that may be just the ideal sort of place to admit that evangelization, which happened a long time ago, needs to be redone. New energies, perhaps new forms of evangelizing. And we have had invitations from the diocesan offices to put forth anything we're doing during Lent so that we can share the good practice. And I know that's a very helpful thing, because I'm a parish priest there and I very rarely see my colleagues. We're all very busy, but we're all operating a little bit on parallel lines. We occasionally meet because we arrange to meet, but it's not enough. So if we have in front of us, either on the internet or on a document sent out from the bishop, these are the things that everyone's doing this Lent, it may be a great encouragement, because some people are imaginative and have no problem inventing new ways of presenting our faith. But other people need a lot of help. They have different gifts. So if we share, even that's just among the priests, let alone what will be done in schools and in organisations and in religious houses, I think lots will be going on. And the fact that we share the information is stage one towards understanding that there are some people already heavily committed to evangelizing in new ways, and probably many of us can learn from that and gain valuable hints and help from each other.
I think people in general are a bit mystified by the term new evangelization.
Well, if you spoke Latin fluently every day, or if you spoke German fluently every day, you'd know exactly what it means. Neue Evangelisierung in German would be evangelizing afresh or evangelizing again, and it's the same idea in Latin. It's not a completely new thing. It's doing the job again. But the new thing is maybe that you find new methods or new ways of communicating. So it's not a new content. The message is very important, and that's why we are still Catholics. That's why we remain committed to the Church and the Gospel and the person of Jesus. And those things have to be central in whatever is new. You don't lose those things, but that you think, well, how can I tell more people about this? Or how can I tell the people who don't feel worthy to be in church that, you know, that's just the wrong idea? You know, the church is for you. I'm not worthy to celebrate Mass, I never will be. But I do it because I'm invited to, and it's a great privilege to me, and I know it's a strength to lots of people.
I don't live in your part of the world, but for example, here in Rome, you get the feeling that there are a lot of nominal Catholics who go to church when they prepare for their first communion, they have their first communion, they get confirmed, they get married, and then when they die, there's a Catholic funeral. But it doesn't really go beyond that.
Yeah, I don't think that's new to anybody in any part of the world. There's nowhere that is without that phenomenon of very superficial adherence to the church. Some people don't know what it is to be deeply committed, but maybe that's exactly the challenge. We're trying in Liverpool a different way of approaching the sacraments. Previously, people my age, for example, learned most of what we learned in school. And whether that coincided with our home life was a lottery. I was lucky, at least my parents believed in it, although they didn't go to church very much. And my grandmother was at home, and she was a profoundly Christian woman, possibly even a mystic, but I was lucky. There were many people in my class whose parents obviously didn't know which end of the church was which when they came for communion or confirmation or any of those sacraments. So now the Archbishop has decided that all catechesis or preparation for the sacraments will be done with the help of the members of the family, which means a bit of a revolution and an upheaval for all the kind people who've given so many hours and years as catechists. They've got to find a new way of being not so much teachers of content, but helpful to parents in the sense of accompanying them as they, the parents, pass on what they know and maybe feed the parents a bit more so that they know more. In the process, everybody learns. It's quite remarkable when it's done properly. But we priests and our catechists who work with us are finding it a great challenge to change the way we do things. But it's obviously the best way forward, because that way, the parents don't just turn up on the day of the celebration. They're very much part of it all from the beginning. Whether it continues after that is up to them. Nobody can be forced to do anything. And that's not the idea. But it may just chip away at the superficiality of some people's commitment and help others to deepen theirs.
You mentioned that your grandmother was a Christian rather than saying she was a Catholic. Why did you say that?
To me, the two things aren't really very different. But as a matter of fact, she was a convert from Anglicanism. And by being converted, she was disinherited and disowned by her family, so she never saw them again, ever. She gave up everything to become a Catholic and to marry the man she met in later when she moved to Ireland. So her telling of the Catholic story was remarkable. She told me of the place she went to learn about the Catholic faith, which was somewhere near Preston, a little place called Gregson Lane. She told me of some of the experience she had of the presence of God and even the presence of the devil. And she was a remarkable lady. When she prayed, it was quite an experience to be with her. And she's the one who took me to church. She's the one who taught me that you can't really hate. It's not part of us. All these things would need explaining at great length, but all this to say, she was a powerful spirit and a great influence on me, and I suspect on all her own children, two of whom went off to be religious brothers, didn't stay, but that's quite something out of six children. Then eventually I went off to try to be a priest, but she'd long died by then. But she's probably one of the main influences. But having been an Anglican, she was also very sympathetic to us thirst for the gospel in other ways of being Christians. So maybe it was the right word to choose. She was never closed to other forms of Christianity, but well aware of the difficulties we had as Catholics in Liverpool in those days. It wasn't easy to live alongside some people who didn't share our way of worshipping and were very violent in the way they expressed that to us.
Finding new ways to evangelise is something that's necessary, it's something that's needed, because earlier on you said there was a crisis of faith, I think, if I understood correctly, and that it's going to get worse.
I don't think I said there was a crisis of faith, but there may be one. What I was talking about was simply a crisis in the numbers of people attending church or practicing their religion. That's getting difficult. It's very funny when people want us to maintain the same level of service in terms of the number of masses we say, when there are far fewer priests, but much more important, far fewer people going to mass.
But surely that reflects a crisis of faith, doesn't it? The fact that people are not going to church.
Could do. I can't judge that unless I speak to the individuals. I think sometimes it's just a habit, a laziness, rather than a crisis of what they believe in. They just don't bother anymore, many of them. And many people are under pressure to do other things. If you have a healthy young boy in your family, it's quite likely that on a Sunday morning he'll be required to play football or be in an athletics team or play cricket at certain times of the year or judo or whatever. It's very hard for a parent to say, you can't do that. You've got to go to church. Some people manage to do it. But I think a lot of people say, no, that's part of his upbringing as well. That's part of what we want for him. So a lot of families now find it very hard to fit in the demands of all their children's lives and church. So I don't think it's a crisis of faith so much as an inability or an impossibility of organising things in a way that includes everything. Another thing is, I made a big mistake many years ago by believing it was a good thing for shops to be open on Sundays. I realised a few years ago that I'd made a dreadful error of judgment. Sunday is not special really anymore in our culture, and one of the sad byproducts that I remember being told about in those days, and it didn't hit me until I saw the effects of it, is the number of people who would lose their job if they refused to work on a Sunday. So they can't go to church unless they happen to find a mass at some unearthly hour on a Saturday evening or a Sunday evening. But that takes commitment, a special kind of strength, almost physical strength, to be able to work all day and go to church at night. Some people do it. All I'm thinking of is it's not always a crisis of faith that keeps people away from church. It's very often very difficult circumstances in their lives. I'm the last person to blame people for not coming to church, but I have to recognise how many are there in order to know how many masses I need to have in my parish or in my deanery. Or, you know, we're just being realistic at the moment in terms of reorganisation. But the older people find that incredibly hard. And yet the real thrust, as in the parable of the Good Shepherd, is not to look after the 99 who are safe, but to go after the one who's lost. And believe me, older parishioners who notice that you're going off looking for new people to come to church or trying to attract more to church, sometimes they take that as an insult. But we're here. You don't thank us for being here. We can't win on that one. But the new evangelization is the action of the Good Shepherd, who's recognized that some of the sheep have wandered off, and all it would take would be an invitation or a stratagem to invite them back in a convincing way. The new evangelization isn't telling them anything new. It's just saying, why aren't those people here? Or even, I'm here, but is my faith deep enough? Do I need to relearn my faith? Do we as a parish need to relearn things, to redo things, to reorganise things? There's all sorts of aspects of this new evangelisation when you think about it.
And you were listening there to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, a parish priest from the Liverpool Archdiocese in England. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.